the OTB Podcast Network.
Kenny Cunningham, it's very rarely we get a North London derby that isn't entertaining. We got plenty of entertainment there this afternoon. Do you feel the 2-1 result in favour of Arsenal was a fair result?
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. I think that they probably just did enough. Arsenal had a huge amount of possession of the football, spent most of the time in the Spurs half of the pitch. Just don't think they did enough with the possession in terms of creating clear-cut opportunities. If there was a criticism of that Arsenal performance today, Spurs, on the other hand, offered very little, certainly for the first half an hour of the first half. Couldn't get any kind of rhythm to their play. Very few clear-cut opportunities, and probably scored with the first real chance of the game, and a brilliant goal that it was as well. I think Arsenal deserved their equaliser, a very well-worked goal. So at half-time, I think Jose Mourinho probably would have been the happier of the two managers. Second half, a little bit scrappy. I thought first kind of 20 minutes, a lot of turnover. Wasn't a lot happening in both penalty boxes. But yeah, two probably key moments, same as every game. The penalty, which was awarded to Lacazette. I personally didn't think it was a penalty. Maybe a lot of people disagreed with me, but I didn't think it warranted a penalty. I think Lacazette got a shot off. It was a horrible shot, almost missed it. And I think he actually made contact with Sanchez on his follow-through. He actually kicked Sanchez for me, more so than anything else. So my understanding was that wasn't a penalty. So I think Arsenal got lucky there. Sending off didn't help as well. But in a funny kind of way, it kind of pulled the Tottenham team together. The sending off kind of focused the minds a little bit. I thought they finished quite strongly, actually, the last kind of 20 minutes of the game. Put some good crosses into the box. Great chance for, not great chance, but a great free kick from Harry Kane. Almost snuck inside the near post. Sanchez nearly scored from the rebound. So, you know, they were pushing towards the end. Tottenham showing a lot of credit and kind of character. But over the course of 90 minutes, yeah, looking at it objectively, don't feel you could make the strong enough argument that they deserve the point from the game, let alone the win.
Tottenham now, I suppose, have a bit of an out. Well, Jose Mourinho, when he analysed this game afterwards, he speaks to the media, he'll have a bit of an out, really, because Lamela gets sent off. So he plays with 10 men. He can kind of use that as a bit of an excuse. And as you say, he'll probably be a little bit happier the fact that his team still went at it for that last 10 minutes, came close maybe to getting an equaliser. Harry Kane came off the post.
Yeah.
So considering they've won their last 5 matches, there's been a lot of question marks over the opposition they were facing. So I suppose his general feeling now after that game, Jose Mourinho, what do you think it'll be?
I think he'd be maybe quite bullish, maybe look the old deflection tactics in terms of, we spoke about maybe the penalty. And you're right, probably talk up the character of his players, how they kind of finish the game. But I don't think he can finger point, or he can mark Lamela sending off as an excuse in terms of how his team performed up to that point. I didn't think it was good enough. A number of his players just off the pace. Bale couldn't get into the game. So no real combination play between the front four that we've seen in previous weeks. You know, Kane, some was off the pitch, obviously. But Moura in those wide areas never really combined to any great effect during the course of the game. They kind of huffed and puffed a little bit. I looked a bit leggy as well. Endon Bele looked a little bit out of sorts in that central area. The two fullbacks, who's probably best traits are in attacking areas of the pitch, Matt in particular getting forward, and Reguilon, never really saw them in those advanced areas, probably because they never retained possession of the football, Stephen. So, yeah, I think it'd be very easy for Mourinho to come out. I'm sure he will. He'd be shouting and screaming and throwing his prams out of his toys out of pram, excuse me, in terms of the penalty, and I'm sure he'll reference the red card, though I think it was warranted. But I think overall he'll be a little bit disappointed, and I must admit I was a bit disappointed myself. I think there was an argument to be made before the game in terms of Tottenham chasing down potentially Chelsea and Leicester for a Champions League spot, but off the back of that performance today, I think some people might have to change the perspective and look at that Tottenham team and say, so yeah, there is undoubted quality within that team, but in terms of mounting a challenge for the top four between now and the end of the season, probably might be a little bit short.
So you don't think they will make the top four? You think there are better sides ahead of them there, the likes of Leicester, Man U?
Oh, I do, yeah.
Yeah, West Ham. Yeah.
No, I think the top four at the moment are going to take some dislodging. I don't think anybody will. I think that's the way it'll finish, the top four. I don't see a massive, although Leicester have been a little bit sketchy of late, don't see a massive drop off for them this season that we saw last year. I think Man United will maintain, not so much their form, but results in terms of, you know, kind of squeezing out enough wins between now and the end of the season. And Chelsea, I think, probably had a form team of those teams up there. Liverpool, of course, excuse me, are more than capable of making a charge. Don't get me wrong. I was focusing on Tottenham there. Liverpool are probably the only team maybe capable of putting 5, 6, 7 wins together. So they're the only team, really, realistically, who can maybe break into that top four.
Well, then it leaves the Europa League and the League Cup then for Mourinho's team. And look, you would, when Manchester City are fighting on all four fronts, you wouldn't put it past a Mourinho team to beat them in that League Cup final. But looking at the Europa League, because that's their passage into the Champions League, yeah. if they can win it, I'm sure there's, you know, better sides in Europe than they are facing at the moment. Dinamo Zagreb, who will be looking at that game against Arsenal today, and we'll see that if you get around the back of that Tottenham defence, if you can get crosses in from the byline, you can beat them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But Mourinho will know that as well. I think he kind of knows the small frailties within the team. We spoke about it today in terms of that central midfield axis of Højbjerg and Ndombele, two different type of players. For me, Tottenham always look more defensively secure with kind of Sissoko and Højbjerg in those central midfield positions. You can then take your pick of Ndombele, Moura or Bale in that number 10 position in front. That's when I think Spurs are the most effective, because I think defensively they're more solid, and I still think they carry that attacking threat. They have enough creative players on the pitch. So I think when he reverts to that kind of formation, which he might well do in the final against Manchester City, I think Spurs have the team to actually go and turn over Manchester City. They have the kind of game plan, the balance of the team to sit deep, low block, soak up pressure and actually hit teams on the counter-attack, which is probably what you're going to have to do against Manchester City. And in terms of Zagreb, I just don't think that Zagreb team is good enough to maybe find two or three goals against Spurs next week and keep a clean sheet as well. So I think Spurs will be fine in that respect.
And then looking at Arsenal, they're obviously in their position in the league now, it's just consolidating a top half finish. But supporters looking at that team again today might be a little concerned about the back. As I said to you during the commentary, he does seem to tinker around with his back four maybe a little bit more than he should. I understand there has been injuries, but like for the likes of Manchester City, he left out David Luiz out of that game. He left out, I think it was Rob Holding who's been playing. Well, actually, Rob Holding started that game. He brought in Pablo Mari, very inexperienced. So it just seems that, you know, as you know, Kenny, you need to start off the back with a good team. You need to build a good defence, have a good goalkeeper there as well. But he just seems to be tinkering around that very important part of his team.
But I think he's tinkering around because he really hasn't got any kind of, not an outstanding centre-half, but a partnership there. So that's the case. Yeah. You haven't got that quality in that area of the pitch anywhere around the club. You got some decent players there. David Luiz, we know his qualities, can switch off defensively, can be exposed, but a good leader, good personality, that type of thing. Gabriel looks to have a decent all-round game, but he hasn't set the world on fire. Rob Holding, steady enough. Marty has some good moments. So you look at all those players, you see where's the outstanding partnership. It's just not there. You may have to look to the transfer market. But I really wouldn't be too downbeat talking about this Arsenal team. I can't stay downbeat for too long. Because when you start looking up the pitch in terms of the quality that they have up the pitch, well, that's when you really start to get excited. I mean, Smith Rowe, the strides he's made this season.
Yeah.
What a talent this kid is. And I'm not talking two or three years down the road. I'm talking now, the quality performance that he's putting in right now. Saka as well, 19, 20 years of age. The level that they're playing, absolutely outstanding. Odegaard may or may not be there. He's on loan at the moment. That may be made permanent. But even Martinelli, we're not even mentioning. Absolutely outstanding young player as well. Joe Willock, who's caught the eye. He's out on loan at Newcastle. He may come back into the equation. Nketiah, Pepe, we haven't even spoken about. We know the money they spent on him. And there's a talent there as well. So Aubameyang, Lacazette, naturally, we haven't even mentioned as well. So the variation, not just the variation, but the attack and quality which they have higher up the pitch was only going to get better in terms of development of those younger players. That must give Arsenal supporters huge optimism in terms of what's coming down the road. But of course, they need to get it right down the other end of the pitch. Again, I'd look at that central midfield axis. Is that exactly how you want it? Xhaka and Partey, is that good enough? So I think once he can get those areas of the pitch right, it's an obvious thing today, central midfield and central defence. But he can, if he needs to get players out, get players off the wage bill, whatever he has to do to free up a bit of funds and get some real quality into those areas of the pitch, then I can see a big upturn in Arsenal's fortunes, because they're as good as anybody across that attacking line in terms of the players and the young talent in particular that they can put on the pitch.
In the long term, do you think supporters should be happy with Mikel Arteta and that, you know, maybe back him at this stage and to think that maybe over the next couple of seasons he can really get that squad challenging for top four and perhaps even for a Premier League title in the next couple of seasons?
Yeah, Premiership title, maybe not the next couple of seasons. Absolutely top four. That's got to be the dream. That's got to be happening next year for me. But it's all dependent if the money's spent. There's no money to spend and he's got to get on with what he's got. Very difficult for a manager in terms of structuring your team when you've got obvious frailties in the areas of the pitch that kind of we're talking about. That's not easy to set up a team to kind of protect those deficiencies within your team. Far easier to say, look, he's not good enough. This is who I have to get in. Can you go and spend the money? So I think if they back the manager in the transfer market and he can get those calibre of players, and not a huge amount of players, I think they're well served in kind of the full-back areas. Tierney, for me, could be the outstanding left-back in the league. And very quickly he's established himself as one of the best all-round full-backs, not attacking full-back, full-backs in all of Europe. So, I mean, they're well placed there. Bellerin in the right-back position, Cedric. So there's not a huge amount wrong. You look around the Arsenal team, but in fundamental areas in the pitch, that midfield access and the centre of the defence, as you're talking about, for me, they're still short. And if forget about talk of a title charge. If that doesn't change, forget about that. All that they can think about potentially is challenging top four.
Everybody would have been, from an Irish perspective, looking at Matt Doherty's performance today. How did you rate that?
I thought he'd done okay, Matt. I felt a little bit disappointed. From very easy to look at that game today, Stephen, and say, oof, Matt, he found it difficult today. All of those Arsenal attacks were coming down their left-hand side. And they were. But it wasn't his responsibility. A lot of the time he was driving out, looking to confront Kieran Tierney. And it was runners in behind them, runners in behind, that were causing the problems. And Tottenham just weren't set up today to deal with that. So I actually thought Matt got a little bit exposed down that side of the pitch. Felt a little bit sorry for him.
So you think the defensive midfielder should be coming over to help out?
Well, no, yeah. No, I don't, personally.
Well, the centre-half.
Exactly, yeah. I think players around them have to offer up some good cover. The distance has to be good. If Matt steps out, there's got to be reaction from players behind. The right side of centre-half, centre midfielder, if that's the case, they've got to get him behind and track those runs. Look, there's a couple of times today, Tierney dropped the shoulder on him, got past and put a cross into the box. Don't think you can beat him up about that. We've spoken about Tierney's qualities in terms of that turn of pace. He can do that to a lot of players. Just disappointed, didn't see a lot of him. Matt's attacking qualities, that's where his strengths are. But he's been playing better of late. He's back in the team. Clearly he's got his manager's confidence back again. Didn't see the best of him today, but that would have been the case for most of the Spurs players. So hopefully I'd expect him to start against Serbia this month, and hopefully he can play a prominent role for the team.
Well, this is the thing, because the man who rivals him for the right back position, Seamus Coleman, comes back from injury yesterday. He came off the bench in that defeat against Burnley. But do you think, as many people do now, that perhaps the two of them will play in the same team for Ireland against Serbia and against Luxembourg? Perhaps Seamus Coleman right back and Matt Doherty as a right winger, right, as such?
They could do, of course. I'm sure you can make that argument. I'm sure Stephen would say, I think, if that's the case, Matt's more than capable of playing in the advanced area of the pitch. And I'm sure he could do an adequate job there. I don't think it's ideal, personally, for me. I think both players are at their best in an orthodox right-back position, right-wing-back position in particular, for Matt, when they're coming onto the ball from deeper positions, when they're looking up the pitch and they're travelling in possession of the ball. For me, it's a totally different position when your starting position's 15, 20 yards up the pitch and you're looking back down the pitch and arriving back towards the ball with pressure underneath you and operating in more congested areas. That's a totally different position for me. Some people don't quite understand that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's actually a reasonably difficult position for Matt or Seamus to operate in. So if you're talking about getting them both into the team, for me it'd be one in a right back position and one in a left back position. Or actually the argument would be maybe one of them playing right side of a defensive three and one of them playing as a right wing back. That's the argument I'd make if you're going to get both of them into the team. I don't see them. Could they both play in a 4-4-2? Yes, I could. But is it getting the best out of both of them, with Seamus operating as a right back and Matt operating as a right side midfielder? I'm not so sure. If we were playing against one of the giants of international football and you were saying, I want to lock down that area of the pitch, I want to get two experienced players there who are very good defensively, out of possession of football, yeah, I could understand it. But we're going to Serbia and we're going there to win, really. We've got to have expectation to go and actually win that game. So I think for me the decision is to play either Seamus or Matt in an orthodox right-back position. So I think that's how we'll play, with an orthodox back four. And then the decision is whether you throw one of the, Matt in particular, who can operate as a left-back as well. But we'll wait and see. It's an interesting point of discussion, all right.
Kenny, I've been following Luxembourg football for a couple of years very closely. They're an up-and-coming nation. They've been getting good results over the last couple of years. They gave France a 0-0 draw, actually, in the qualifiers for the World Cup a couple of years back. They're not a bad side. But it's a team that Ireland should be beating. Serbia are coming in with a new manager as well, so perhaps he won't be exactly sure of what his best team is. So maybe things like that are going in favour of Ireland, but certainly what's not going in Stephen Kenny's favour are the players available to him. In the last couple of international windows, he's lost so many players to injuries, to COVID-19, all that kind of stuff. He's had such bad luck, and now we've seen John Egan is out, James McCarthy is out. There's doubts now, serious doubts over Adam Eda, who might need to have a hernia operation. Aaron Connolly looks like he's out for what we think might be a rib injury. So those two players, especially Conley and Ida and John Egan as well, very key to what Stephen Kenny, the way he wants this Ireland team to play. It's a massive blow for him.
Yeah, it is. But it's part and parcel of international football. He's not used to it now, Stephen. He better get used. That's always the case. There's always kind of a disappointment when it comes that week or two leading up to international week in terms of pullouts. So I don't think he'd be too despondent. I think it's important we try and be as positive and as optimistic as possible. I look at the squad potentially, which can come together. And I'm still quite optimistic in terms of the team that he can put on the pitch. Yeah, you spoke with somebody outstanding, Adam in particular, and Aaron Connolly. Yes, we want those players available because they're the future. We want to get them involved and get them as experienced as possible, get as much game time on the pitch as is possible. That won't be the case. But for me, there's enough talent there already. I think there's some interesting points of discussion in terms of the central defensive pairing. You spoke about the full-back position. Central defensive pairing is going to be an interesting one as well. And even that midfield axis. We've had the likes of kind of Connor, Jeff Hendrick in there, James McCarty for a period of time. And generally, it's been two out of three.
Yeah. But I think Connor Herrin, of course.
Connor Herrin, absolutely, yeah. But I think the likes of Jace Malumbi now. And Josh Cullen in particular, for me, he's one I've watched the last kind of year and a half. You're saying you're an expert in Luxembourg football, I believe you. So I wouldn't say I'm an expert in Josh Cullen, but every time I've seen him play, the limited amount of minutes he's had for him, he's really impressed me, Stephen. You know, nothing kind of fancy, nothing overly outrageous, but just does the basics really well. Looks to have a good all-round game, defensively switched on in terms of positional sense when you haven't got the ball, and very productive in possession, just keeps it simple, keeps the ball moving. Just somebody looks as if you can really trust him in that central area of the pitch. So again, it'd be interesting to see how Stephen sees that kind of that midfield dynamic going forward.
He's played a lot of senior matches, Charlton, now with Anderlecht in the Belgian league. Do you think that experience in another European league will make him a better player?
Oh, I think so. It can only help. He's been alone a few times, and he obviously spent some time at Charlton there last year as well. I think just game time generally, but I think you're right. Once you go to a different country, different culture, different kind of style of play, that can only help in terms of your all-round development. But I like what I saw anyway, Stephen, even before he made that move to Anderlecht. So I'll be very interested to see how Stephen and the coaching staff sees it in terms of the balance of the team, how they see it for the game against Serbia. Because for me, it's a game, if we're nice and positive, and I think we will be, I think we know how Stephen kind of wants to play, possession-based game, get on the ball, kind of dominate. He wants to have an element of control to the game. So I think that will be the case. It's just a case of, which is always the hardest part of the game, whichever style of football that you play, whatever your philosophy is, sustained pressure, shots on target, goals. You know, that's what invariably what you have to be talking about, no matter what kind of style of play that you play. And probably at times we probably haven't had enough of it in end product. So that's the challenge. Whichever kind of way we play, whichever this tactical setup is, can we get enough players in the right areas of the pitch, create enough chances and ultimately score enough goals while keeping a reasonable amount of defensive solidity as well? I suppose that's a challenge for every manager.
Thanks, Kenny.
No problem.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.